As we look at John 11 in more depth, let's ask God for help. Father, as we look into your word, just seal the truths of it, of Jesus being the life and the resurrection on our hearts. Jesus' name. Amen. Ernest Gordon was a prisoner in a Japanese war camp in World War II. The war camp that the film The Bridge Over the River Kwai was based on. At the time, he was a non-Christian, very cynical about it. But then he caught diphtheria, was moved to the hospital in the prison of war camp. A hospital that was called the Death House. People who moved there almost inevitably died. The Japanese would not provide the medicine needed to treat disease. So people who went there had little hope. But some of the men around thought Ernest Gordon could be saved. They took him out of there to his own place and sought to nurse him back to health. In particular, two Christians acted as nurses and friends. They also sometimes read scripture to him, raising the issue of receiving eternal life through Christ. And slowly, Ernest Gordon recovered. He received life back when it seemed he must die. In the passage today, we see Lazarus come back from the dead, in reality, receive new life, showing Jesus' authority over life and death. The passage starts with Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, becoming sick. Now, Mary and Martha knew Jesus, they trusted in Jesus. And also they knew, Jesus knew Lazarus, so they sent word to him about this, hoping he'd come, he'd heal their brother. Jesus received the message. He understood that Mary and Martha wanted him to come. It was serious. Yet rather than setting out immediately, he states in verse 4, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." The immediate reaction most of us would have would be that Jesus would go back, he'd heal immediately, another miracle to add to the long list of miracles that point to Jesus being God's Son, the one God has sent to save this world. Be another miracle, adding to the healings of people, where the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the lame walk, giving glory to God by showing what happens when God dwells among men and brings blessing to men, brings the benefits of God to the people of Israel. However, that's not what happens. Jesus does not go immediately. He stays another 2 days before deciding to go, tells his disciples then that they ought to go. But going to see Mary and Martha and Lazarus means going back to Judea, to Bethany, that's 2 kilometers from Jerusalem, where the Jewish leaders want to kill Jesus. At the Feast of Dedication, the last time they're at Jerusalem, they'd sought to stone him. And the disciples point this out to Jesus. They do not want to take risks, but want to enjoy Jesus being with them. And Jesus responds in verse 9, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's night. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." Now, while today, generally we work during daylight. And there are careers such as nurses where there are good reasons to work overnight, but mostly those things are done inside, where there are lights, so people can see. Or even jobs where things have to be done. But it's much safer and better to do things like ploughing fields, sowing crop, or other outside jobs during the day, when one can actually see using natural light. And this was much more true in Jesus' time. They didn't have electricity, they'd rely on natural light generally. And they'd divide up a day into 12 hours of light during which people would work. And then the night, which was dark, when it was not so possible to move around, as one couldn't see. And what Jesus is saying here is that while he's around, there's work that needs doing. It's daytime. There will be times when he's gone to the Father after he dies, when it will be difficult to do God's work. But while Jesus is around, they're able to do God's work. When he goes, it will be much harder, so at times they'll stumble. And we should remember this. There are times, as Christians, when life's great, we know God's with us. But there are also times that we'll struggle. When life isn't so easy. And then Jesus goes on to focus on the issue at hand, which is Lazarus. He says, Lazarus is asleep and needs to wake. They're going for Lazarus to bring life. Jesus describes death as falling asleep, as he is not risen from the dead. Those who die at this stage cannot just simply go to be with him, as Paul describes what happens when they die. So here, Jesus describes it as falling asleep. The disciples do not understand what he means. So Jesus expresses himself more clearly. Lazarus is dead. And he's glad that they're not there, so they can trust him. But he's saying, let's go to him. Now, let's get this in perspective. It's natural for family and friends to turn up for funerals. We need to mourn. We need to grieve what we've lost and perhaps provide comfort to others who have also lost. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's already said that it will not end in death. And having delayed 2 days, it's not simply to provide condolences and comfort. While Lazarus is dead, Jesus is not just going to provide comfort. That's not his focus. Otherwise, he'd have set out 2 days earlier. The disciples don't know what is going on, but they know they'll follow Jesus. He's the one who provides them with hope, with life, living with him. Thomas expresses this verbally, that they don't understand what he's saying, but that they'll follow him. Verse 16, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas is saying they don't know what's happening, that it may cost their lives, but that living with Jesus means so much more than their lives, that not having him around was worse than death, that they should enjoy having Jesus around while he's with them. So Jesus and the disciples go to Bethany, to Mary and Martha, and when they arrive, they find that Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Even if they'd gone immediately, Lazarus would still have died. But 4 days also mean he's really dead. This is not someone whose heart stopped and can be resuscitated to life using CPR, Lazarus is dead. But when Jesus comes, Martha goes out to meet him and says in verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Martha expresses her confidence, a confidence that we share, that when Jesus is around, good things happen for others. She's seen God's provision through Jesus. She's every confidence that if Jesus was there, he'd have healed Lazarus. And then she adds a twist to it. She implies that Jesus can ask God for Lazarus to return to life. He can do something even now. She's not asking outright. It's one of these awkward requests where she's kind of seeing what Jesus will do, implying he could bring him back from the dead, maybe. So Jesus responds in verse 22, your brother will rise again. He points to Lazarus coming back to life. Now, many of the Jews believed in the resurrection of the dead. After all, Daniel 12 is explicit. Multiples who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. It speaks of the resurrection of the dead, some receiving eternal life, others judgment, everlasting punishment. And that is what Martha thinks Jesus is referring to in verse 24. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Yet that's simply a factional statement, that she believes in what Scripture says, that she believes the written word. Jesus responds by putting himself at the centre of this, at the centre of the resurrection of the dead, at the centre of that hope. Verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus says that he's the resurrection and life, that life is centered around him, that the resurrection of the dead's in him, and that faith in him means people never die. They're big claims. They reflect some of what the disciples feel, that they should enjoy their time with Jesus while he's there, while he's around them, because he brings life. He's the purpose of their lives. Yet, the disciples are still to understand what Jesus says in full. It's shown by how quickly they become afraid when Jesus is arrested, when he's no longer with them. At the moment, they only trust when Jesus is there, because only then do they have the security of him bringing them life. But Jesus is saying far more than this. He's saying it's belief in him that gives people life, that people need to live centered around him, that we need to live centered around him and what he's done, to enjoy life. Now, Martha responds to this in verse 27. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. She's saying she believes Jesus is the Son of God, the Saviour that was predicted throughout the Old Testament. She's expressing in words what faith is about. Yet, whether she fully understands what Jesus has said and her response is another matter, as we'll see. Having stated this, she calls her sister to Jesus. Mary's upset, she's grieving, but when Jesus asks her, she goes to him quickly, falls at his feet and simply says in verse 32, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." There are times in life when we don't understand what's happened, why God can allow certain things to happen, when we face losses, such as those of loved ones, when things go really, really wrong. For Mary and Martha, the loss of their brothers, one of these times. For them, as single women in that culture, losing their brother, who would also act as a protector, would be particularly bad. Mary's very upset and simply expressing it to Jesus. She doesn't understand why Jesus could not have come, healed her brother. But she's prepared to bring her tears, her pain to him. And this should be a model for all of us. When things go wrong in life, we need to bring pain, grief to God. We don't need to understand what God is doing, but we do need to bring it to him, to trust him through the pain and suffering. This is not because he'll just remove it. Mostly he won't. It's because he's a God who knows suffering. Jesus went to the cross to suffer and die for us. Jesus suffered for us. So he'll hear our suffering. He'll share it with us. He'll bring comfort to us. We may not get answers as to why things happen, but God will be there bringing comfort. Here we read in response to Mary in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Jesus doesn't give Mary a theological answer. There isn't one. He simply sees her pain, the pain that sin and death cause in this world, and responds by being deeply moved, even outraged at the effects. He's troubled. He doesn't like what he sees. The fact that man going his own way, ignoring, rejecting, rebelling against God, brings pain, hurt, and death into the world, doesn't mean that God likes the effects of this. He created everything so that it was very good, yet because of man's freedom, man used this to bring evil into the world. Here, Jesus can see the need for redemption, the need for restoration, the need for the resurrection of the dead. So Jesus asks to be taken to the tomb. Not as a distant God, but as God's Son who cares. As verse 35 says, Jesus wept. We've got a God that comforts, that cares. The crowds are still divided about Jesus. Some see the tears and look at the care Jesus has. Others take the heartless view. Couldn't Jesus have saved Lazarus, given all the miracles he's done? Well, factually, they might be right. They do not know what God is doing. So Jesus goes to the tomb and tells them to take away the stone. Martha responds with practicalities. It's been 4 days. It won't just smell bad. It will stink. She's not fully understood and believed what Jesus said to her earlier, that he's the resurrection and life, so he can call others back from the dead. While Martha's stated her belief in Jesus as a saviour, she still struggles to comprehend this. But that day, they'd see the glory and power of God in Lazarus coming back from the dead. Jesus goes on to say, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you also always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus is doing this so people will believe in him, that he really is the Saviour that has power over life and death, that real life comes from him, that he provides eternal life. Jesus then calls Lazarus out of the tomb, and Lazarus comes out alive, wearing his grave clothes. Jesus gives instructions of how to treat him. This may have been obvious, but the mourners have just seen the impossible happen. They've seen the dead coming out alive. So having the instructions given their shock would obviously be helpful. It shows Jesus' care. But having Lazarus come back from the dead shows Jesus' power over life and death. It looks forward to Jesus coming back from the dead, having died that we might live. As Caiaphas, the high priest, inspired by God, puts it in verse 49, "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it's better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." Now, he's clearly saying that Jesus needs to die for people to live, for the nation to live. This doesn't make the leaders' conduct in killing Jesus right. It doesn't make Caiaphas' conduct in the chapters coming up right. But God uses what they do for those who love him. I've seen prisoners put behind bars for crimes they probably didn't commit, but God uses it to call them to him, to reformed and restored lives. It doesn't excuse the conduct of those who put it there. And the Caiaphas and the other leaders' conduct in seeking to kill Jesus is inexcusable, it's wrong, it's evil, but they use to achieve God's purposes. As Caiaphas says, they know nothing. Yet God uses Jesus' death for our good, Jesus dying in our place for all the times we reject, we ignore God, for all the times we go our own way, that we through faith, through believing in him, might appear before God, cloaked in Jesus' righteousness, that we appear before God as holy, so that we might live eternally because of what Jesus has done. That's how we share in the resurrection of the dead, along with Jesus, and how we should respond. Ernest Gordon, the soldier in World War II, ended up in the camps, leading a group, reading the Bible to find out about Jesus. None of them were Christians at that stage. He couldn't accept a legalistic God of rules or a God for respectable people only, but wanted to know who Jesus was, if his claims were true, and found a very different Jesus in the Bible. He ended up believing, giving his life to Christ, and leading others to do the same. He responded to Jesus. And we need to respond in belief, in trust, and live out of it. Yes, we'll struggle at times. Yes, we'll fall short, but that's fine. But that's because we have a God, we have a Lord. This is the resurrection in life, and that's what he provides for us, a hope that is eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God that provides for us, that sends Jesus to die that we might live, that we might share in his resurrection, share in life eternal. And just be in our lives, seal the truths of that on our hearts, so that we live more and more for you out of this. Jesus' name. Amen.